struggle with being truly thankful today? Elizabeth Elliot says, "It's very easy for me to pick the one thing that's wrong rather than concentrate on the 10 things that were right." I think we can all relate to what Elizabeth is saying. Welcome to Gateway to Joy.
Choose your attitude. I didn't know which of the funny letters that we've had Lars was going to tell about this morning, but I had brought up another one. This just came to me last week, and it's very odd. I wouldn't say it's the funniest, but it's odd. She says, "Hi, how are you doing? I am super." In New England, people are always saying, when you say, "How are you?" they say, "I'm good." And I think, why would they say that? You know, why wouldn't you say, "I'm well"? But if you say, "I'm good," then I'm always reminded that the Bible says there is none good but one. So you can't possibly be good, but I don't argue that point. But this woman says, "I am super. I am going home to Alliance, Nebraska for Christmas. Please pray for me." And this is the funny part, odd part. "I have not been reading the Word as I should. I don't pray anymore like I used to. I get along without God's help. I manage. Please pray for me." And I read that over and over again. She says, "I'm super. I don't read the Word anymore. I don't pray like I used to. I get along without God's help. I manage. Please pray for me." Well, I certainly know she needs prayer, but it doesn't sound to me as though she thinks she does, and yet she wrote me that letter. Is it possible to choose one's attitude? Yes. Most emphatically, yes. And over my typewriter, I have what has been called St. Teresa's bookmark. I don't know why it's called St. Teresa's bookmark, but it's a very well-known little poem. This is what it says. "Let nothing trouble you. Let nothing frighten you. All things pass away. God never changes." And that calms me and helps me to keep a quiet heart quite often. Let nothing trouble you. Let nothing frighten you. All things pass away. God never changes. But when you're in the ditch, it's the biggest thing, isn't it? When you've got a toothache, it's the worst toothache in the world. And when it's gone, you forget about it. Jesus' own words were, "Let not your heart be troubled." Now that is a command. And the verbs are very pointed and very powerful. Let not. Do not let your heart be troubled. He's not saying that there's no reason why your heart shouldn't feel troubled, but he's saying don't let it be troubled. But then he gives us very good reason why we shouldn't. He says, "You believe in God, believe also in me." And remember that he said these words when he was about to say goodbye to his disciples. And he was giving them a summary of all the teaching that the Gospels contain in those chapters 14, 15, 16. He was preparing his disciples for his departure, knowing, of course, that they would be troubled, naturally speaking. In these words, I find a command to all of us that we are meant to choose our attitude. And that doesn't make any difference what the circumstances may be. We can choose. Be content, the Bible says. Be anxious for nothing. Commands, all of them. Love your neighbor. And also love your enemies. Maybe your neighbor is your worst enemy. I get a lot of letters from women who describe the horrors of their married life, and they write me pages about what an awful man they have to put up with. And they feel as though they have a right to be angry, and they're asking me all these questions about what am I supposed to do. And my answer to them is, treat your husband as an enemy. And what does the Bible say we're supposed to do with our enemies? Love them. That's what the Bible says. If this man is actually acting as badly as she describes, then he certainly is acting like an enemy. And so the command is perfectly clear, utterly unequivocal, love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you. Many of you know about Fanny Crosby. She must have written over 8,000 hymns. And Fanny Crosby was blinded at the age of 6 weeks by a doctor who made a mistake. He put something in her eyes that burned the corneas so that she was totally blind for the rest of her life. And when she was only 9 years old, this is what she wrote. Oh, what a happy soul am I, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot, nor I won't. A 9-year-old girl made a resolve. I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. She chose her attitude. In Philippians 2, verses 1 to 5, we read, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. You think you got troubles? Think about his. Think about that little 9-year-old Fanny Crosby. I had quoted that poem on one of my radio programs, and I had a letter from a prisoner. I get many letters from prisoners, and I thank God that there are many in prisons who are Christians. I don't mean I'm grateful that Christians do things that get them into prison, but I assume that many of these prisoners have become Christians since they got there. And at any rate, even if he is a Christian and has been falsely accused and injustice has been done to him for God's own purposes, he has him in that prison. And this man has written to me a number of times. Very rarely does any prisoner ever tell me what he's in there for, and I have no idea what this man's story was, but he wrote this after he heard the story of Fanny Crosby. Oh, what a happy soul am I, although I am not free. I am resolved that in this cell, contented, I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm chained, I cannot, nor I won't. That's what it means to choose your attitude. Now, the world has given us a line of absolute rubbish that tells us we're supposed to feel good about ourselves and we're supposed to feel good about things. And we're supposed to work on our self-esteem and all this sort of thing. So it would be hypocritical to act happy if we're really miserable inside. You know, that really is baloney. Because we can choose our attitudes. Jesus wasn't happy in the purely human sense as he went to the cross. He shrank from it. But he chose his attitude, your will, Lord, your will, Father, and he moved down that pathway of obedience without any wavering whatsoever. And he expects you and me to find our joy in him and to choose a proper attitude. Jesus said when the disciples were very worried because he hadn't eaten anything, when they had left him at the well, they tried to persuade him to eat something. And his answer to that was, my meat or my food is to do the will of him that sent me. I have food that you don't know anything about. So he had a different attitude because he had a different motivation for his life.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.